All right, good morning, everybody. Today is Friday, October 16th, 2015, and this says Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Friday, everybody. We made it. Yay. Sorry I wasn't here yesterday. It was one of those days, woke up with technical issues and really didn't feel very motivated. But I am here today. It's Friday, and I have so much stuff to talk about. It is 48 degrees and wet here in upstate New York. Fall has really kicked into high gear. I see lots and lots of yellows and falling leaves now. And I have also heard through the weather grapevine that we might see some white stuff this weekend. So it's game on, people. November 1st, we fall back, clocks go back, and it will be dark here close to 5 o'clock by that time. So where did we leave off on Wednesday? We titled the show Guinea Pigs, 21st Century Cures Act, and Brain Fingerprints. One of the things that we had kind of been stitching together over the last few days, and we've looked at many facets of this before, was how we have this full-blown collusion, and we're not talking even at a United States level. We're talking at a global level now with these international trade agreements just putting the big, fat, rotten cherry on top, where we're stitching together not just corporatocracy, but we're putting big pharma and mad science gone mad at the front of the train going 190 miles an hour at a 90-degree turn. They are giving more protections to big pharma. They are using this whole experimental RNA nanotechnology healthcare of the future, the promise of immortality. They are pushing this as 21st century medicine, and with all of these other initiatives to crack the genome, to crack the brain mysteries, and to crack all the mysteries of disease, biologics, as they call them in the TPP, will be fully protected with copyright, and they will be using us as guinea pigs. And with the promise of 21st century medicine, people, especially the desperate, the sick, the ones that they've made sick with all of their genetically modified foods that have been on the market at least for the last 20 years. And oh my God, on Monday, I better be here on Monday because I got some big stuff that I'm in the middle of researching, not ready to talk about it yet, but talk about connecting dots. You know how I've told you guys that when we first discovered that the RNAi technology that they are using in these new vaccinations was the same technology that Monsanto is using in their new genetically modified crops as a quote-unquote pesticide. And we've looked at how all of that works, how to create a gene drive and wipe out an undesirable trait throughout an entire population. And they can do that by flipping protein switches on and off or different immune responses within the cells themselves. Guys, we are literally talking like lunatic fringe being gods and being able to manipulate entire populations of living organisms on planet Earth. This is very, very, very dangerous technology. And as every day goes by, computers get faster, we get more memories, cloud computing, supercomputing, artificial intelligence is all rolling out. In conjunction with all of this, we are at a point that on a daily basis, it gets easier and easier to play Tinker Toys with the human genome. So we're going to look at a lot of different things that kind of bring all these pieces together now. This is probably the last like 6 months of everything coming together. I mean, don't forget, too, in the very beginning, when we dug way down deep, we discovered that back in 1972 when Nixon inked that same agreement that I can never remember. Maybe it was Nuremberg. I don't know. I always forget what it's called. But in 72, in regards to biological warfare and chemical warfare, Nixon inked a document. He signed on with other global participants, and they had all agreed that they were no longer going to participate in research for weapons of mass destruction, except, of course, the nuclear. But then we had our nuclear treaties as well. But as far as anything decimating, like biological or chemical warfare, there was a moratorium put on that. But the one thing that Nixon had said that we were going to continue to do was to maintain a defensive posture and continue development of vaccines. Well, there you have it, people. That was part of the biowarfare program. That is how vaccinations and mad science gone mad, being able to manipulate genetics to turn humans into super soldiers. You know, this is why DARPA and Google are in bed together and having Kurzweil at the helm of this whole transhumanist push and their healthcare division and Obama declaring precision medicine as being the new way to fix all of what ills us. Guys, every single piece of this is connected to one big, ugly, scary nightmare of a creature that I start to see more and more of every day. And I'm telling you what, it was giving me nightmares. So, all right, let's get back to where we were on Thursday. Let me see if I can connect here quick. We're going to kick this off just because I know every time I hear this, it fires me up. And, you know, Jewel fired up on a Friday. There's nothing wrong with that. Actually, I'm in good shape. I worked on getting everything cut this weekend, so I only got one show to go. All right. Let's see if we can connect and not have anything playing in the background. This will be a miracle. Please. And it looks like we may be. All right. So as we're talking about all this, we find out that in 2015, and I believe it was in July, the U.S. House of Representatives passed a bill called the 21st Century Cure Act. And as we've been reading about the FDA and more than 50% of all research out there being fraudulent or somehow modified or never redacted after it was proven to be untrue, so you don't know what to trust. And anything that they point to and say, oh, you people who are science deniers don't have intelligence because, look, here's all the studies that prove that we are right. The scientific corporatocracy ruled by Big Pharma. Yes, we know what is best for you people. And now that we're in bed with international governments and global organizations such as the UN, large billionaire organizations like Bill Melinda Gates Foundation, yes, we can do whatever we want to. And remember, the end result of all of this is not only the rich having immortality and control over every part of biology on planet Earth at a cellular or even worse, a genomic level. But remember, research and development line item budget for a publicly traded company is expensive. And we found out that statement by Valiant CEO a couple days ago of the pharmaceutical company, his concern is for the shareholders. So it's not about you and me. But hey, we have Democrats and Republicans holding each other, hugging and butt patting so they could sell this to you. Here comes the 21st Century Care Act.
Well, hello there. I'm Fred Upton.
And I'm Diana DeGette.
And I'm a Republican from Michigan.
And I'm a Democrat from Colorado.
You know, we know that you've probably heard a lot about the gridlock, dysfunction, and division in Congress for sure.
It's true. We do have our differences. Fred and I don't agree on everything, but we do agree on this. America can be, it must be, the healthcare innovation capital of the world.
And what we are going to discover is the healthcare innovation capital of the world. I was watching a documentary last night, and it was about this entire genre and everything that's happening, except from a genetically modified plant perspective. But I'm going to tell you what, I found some connections last night. It is the exact same thing, and they are using the exact same organisms to invade our cells as they are to invade plant cells when they genetically modify them. They are doing to us what they've been experimenting now on plants for 20 years. This is no joke, people. And this 21st Century Care Act is to take that very last vestige of anything that was left in the FDA to look at any technologies, to maybe even raise an eyebrow and question, because we know they're not even doing that. We don't have enough inspectors. They're just, an apple is an apple, a potato is a potato, and a tomato is a tomato. They're rubber stamping this stuff. The 21st Century Care Act is making it now direct device and drug manufacturer to end user. The people who beg, the people who want to line up for the studies to save my life, to try to the last ditch to make me live. And guys, this is so, so insidious. It is bottom feeding, opportunistic. These poor people, God, I don't even know what to say about this anymore, but these two are a pair of vipers that are selling this. In that documentary I was watching, they had this guy talking about the psychology behind this 21st century medicine and how it needs to happen is that the public needs to have ultimate trust to line up for it all, just as we've been saying. And of course, what did we see in the very beginning? They were going to come out with, oh, the cure for cancer, but it's gotten even better than that. You just wait and see. It's gotten even better than that. All right, let's listen to the rest of this video so I can get even more fired up.
You know, you may not realize it, but together, we have already accomplished a lot to improve public health with a whole number of bills supporting medical research enacted over the last couple of years. I'm also proud to say that I helped lead the charge back in the 1990s, bipartisan effort, to double the funding of the National Institutes of Health.
This is a
National Institute of Health that's in the middle of all these projects. By the way, in the photo that they showed with him back in the 70s or whatever for his increased funding support, there was good old Johnny McStain was in the picture with him and Muhammad Ali. So I don't know what that was about, but here, let's finish this.
Good start, but now it's time to go bigger.
You know, in the 21st century, healthcare innovation is happening at lightning speed. From the mapping of the human genome to the risk of personalized medicines that are linked to advances in molecular medicine, we've seen constant breakthroughs that are changing the face of disease treatment, management, and certainly cures.
And like I said, it's happening at breakneck speed. We were talking about this on Thursday or Wednesday. And one of the big issues that all of these companies have now, and many of them are startups, like I said, that are sprinkle funded, venture funded by places like DARPA under the Project BioShield created by Bush and then renewed in 2014. Yes, let's come up with experimental drugs against biotoxins as part of the original biowarfare project. But remember, we're in defensive mode. But let's come up with ways to cure everything. But they're only able to test those on people if there is an emergency per Project BioShield. And since there is an emergency, isn't an emergency right now. We had Ebola, quote unquote, Ebola. And if we have time, we're going to get into some crazy Ebola stuff going on. Then we had swine flu. We had measles. We had all this stuff. We need to come up with permanent cures for everything. And if we can express all of these quote unquote cures through this 21st Century Cares Act, we won't need an emergency anymore. We will have willing participants that will allow us to take these studies from phase one or two when we're not making bazillions of dollars in profits to phase three and four where it's on the market. And we could tell people that, you know, they're being deprived right now by that pesky FDA that was trying to keep them safe. Fuck being safe. Let's just let it all loose, because if you could be cured, why not? Especially if you only have months to live. I mean, literally, this is how they are selling the stuff. And there's a story, maybe we'll get to it on Monday, about the first ever nanobot cancer curing. But we find out that actually that happened in 2010, but another one in 2015. All right, let's finish this so we can get there.
Health research is moving quickly, but the federal drug and device approval apparatus is still, in many ways, the relic of another era.
So people, you're losing that damned FDA that at least was looking at one in every 10,000 drugs to make sure it was safe. Now, I don't know. It just seems to me that every single thing that we have read about all these regulatory agencies has proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's a bunch of nincompoops that work there. And it's not about you or me. It's about sitting watching porn and, using taxpayer dollars to go get hookers in Mexico. I mean, how many times have we seen that with these different agencies with misappropriation of funds or whatever? So, you know, don't trust that they've been keeping you safe, but of course they're going to sell it to you as, you know, they have been the ones that have been responsible for you not getting the cures you deserve that have been funded by your taxpayer dollars. So give it all up. Let's get rid of them and make it easier for Frankenstein medicine to get on the market ASAP.
We have dedicated scientists and bold leaders at agencies like the NIH and the FDA. But when our laws don't keep pace with innovation, we all lose out.
So if we want to save more lives, and we do, and keep the country the leader in medical innovation and the jobs here, we've got to make sure that there's not a major gap between the science of cures and the way that we actually regulate these therapies.
Oh, wait a second. So this is kind of like the TPP as well, where, or the World Trade Organization also, with that, you know, don't label your meat because it's illegal. So what he just said is we have to make sure that we keep pace by taking the science of cures and the regulations and making them now kind of on a level playing field, because decoding his message, if we don't give them easy access to our people and relax our regulations, these large corporations aren't going to keep their business in the United States. They're going to go market it out of China and then come back and sell us the cures. Give up your regulations. I mean, I want to hear that one more time, because it's exactly what he said, just not so many words.
We've got to make sure that there's not a major gap between the science of cures in the way that we actually regulate these therapies.
Oh, he did say that. So let's just drop all regulations. Let just anything go. And you know what? Buyer beware, caveat emptor. If you want to give your free consent to be a guinea pig, then go right ahead.
That's why, for the first time ever, we in Congress are going to take a comprehensive look at what steps we can take to accelerate the pace of cures in America. We're looking at the full arc of this process, from the discovery of clues in basic science, to streamlining the drug and device development process, to unleashing the power of digital medicine and social media at the treatment delivery phase.
Unleashing. I mean, genie out of the bottle. This is going to be the end of biology as we know it. If you guys have dug deep into some of the links that I provide after each show in the description of the YouTube archive, you would be as concerned as I am as to what is about to be unleashed on planet Earth. And I mean, it's been happening in little pockets all around the globe, but we're talking now, it is going to be game on for Big Pharma to become literal gods. And not just Big Pharma, this entire conglomerate that is tied together between the large tech companies, the governments across the globe, and the biotech industry. It is very, very, very frightening.
You know, all that is so exciting, but we know that we don't have all the answers. That's why we're asking questions first. We want to listen, and we are. We want to know how to close the gaps between advances in scientific knowledge about cures and the regulatory policies that are created to save more lives.
How can we make sure our best scientists spend more of their time in the laboratory discovering cures rather than just writing grant proposals?
And how can we foster even more collaboration using new technological resources like cloud computing or social media?
Are there new ways to improve the process of developing and approving new drugs and devices?
You know, our understanding of disease at the genetic level can certainly help reduce the costs and quicken the pace of clinical trials.
At the genetic level, I mean, this is just, and you won't believe what they can do at the genetic level.
That means patients potentially have faster access to those treatments. What do we need to make this happen?
To keep things moving and constantly improving, we must then capture the impact of these new drugs and devices and share that data with researchers, caregivers, and patients.
Working together, that'll ensure that the discovery process continues to move forward, constantly improving and learning.
And remember, all of the back end of this is slicing and dicing, putting you in a database from every aspect of everything about you down to a genetic level, and then running an algorithm. I mean, we've looked at the future implications of being sliced and diced in a database, and those aren't very pretty.
By this collaborative effort, asking these important questions and constantly challenging ourselves to always be doing more and doing better, we can put America on a swift trajectory to make the predominant diseases of today a thing of the past.
First discovery, then development, then delivery, and back again to discovery. We must never cease. Our efforts for 21st century cures is now underway.
So there's the announcements. Taken another way, look out, because here it comes. So I wanted to play that just to kind of set the stage as to what we're up against. There was a story that came out a few days ago. I'm trying to find the date on here. I just saw this the other day. Anyway, oh, August 4th. So it's from August, a few months ago. 21st Century Cures Act, a huge step backwards for FDA standards. In early January, Tennessee Senator Lamar Alexander, the new chair of the Senate Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions, dropped a big hint to the Associated Press, quote, "Modernizing the National Institutes of Health and Food and Drug Administration is a necessity," he told a reporter, noting that in his new role, he would examine the FDA's process for drug and device review. Congress has moved quickly to realize the senator's goal, and on July 10th of 2015, I'm assuming, wait, yes, 2015, the House passed the 21st Century Cures Act with bipartisan support. Senate approval, no doubt, will come shortly, and I checked, I do not see that Senate has approved this yet, but it is waiting in queue. The media seem to have missed the clue. And as they were two decades ago, many news outlets were snoozing while Congress was hard at work on yet another set of significant changes in the way drugs and medical devices are regulated. Changes that could have profound safety consequences for the public. The legislation weakens what some believe are already weak standards. People like you and me. And we don't even just believe it. We've proven it. But the object of the 21st Century Cures Act has another purpose. As Dr. Rita Redberg, the well-known cardiologist from the University of California San Francisco Medical Center, told me, quote, "The emphasis has been on getting drugs and devices on the market quickly, but not on making sure that they are safe." Well, ding, da, da, ding, there you go. 21st Century Cures Act continues the country's march toward a lower bar for safety, as Redberg points out in a New York Times op-ed on July 17th. Incredibly, she wrote, the bill would, quote, severely weaken, not strengthen the FDA's already ineffective regulatory scheme for medical devices. The device industry may stand to benefit from this legislation, but the health of the public does not, unquote. And like I had mentioned with the TPP coming through and giving big pharma and these companies longer copyright protections against their processes and their substances, you know, this just increases their stranglehold on all of these technologies. It says, what exactly will the 21st Century Care Act do? Well, good question. Companies that market breakthrough medical devices would be able to submit evidence of safety and efficacy based on sources other than clinical trials. So they don't even have to have a clinical trial anymore to be able to get it then into full-blown trials. No. It says they will not. Medical devices would be able to submit evidence of safety and efficacy based on sources other than clinical trials, including just case histories, which were the experiences of individuals already using the device. In other words, they would not be required to conduct a clinical trial, randomized or not, but instead could submit documentation showing that Joe Blow patient's health had improved by having some device implanted in his chest. The reasoning, as Redberg writes, is that, quote, the need to outweigh the risks, unquote. The bottom line is that anecdotal evidence, rather than the scientific studies, could be used to approve drugs and devices, says Redberg. She believes legislation may shift the burden of evidence to clinical studies conducted only after the device is on the market. What? And that there are, and I will guarantee you, there will be no lawsuits allowed. You'll be inking a paper that if you're a guinea pig for one of these studies, you will never be able to sue. And I mean, I haven't seen that, but what pharmaceutical company is going to allow some brand new test never before done on humans to then allow them to sue if things go awry? It's not going to happen. It's experimental, and you will be treated as such. You'll have as many rights as a monkey. Anyway, she believes legislation may shift the burden of evidence to clinical studies conducted only after a device is on the market, and that there are plenty of problems in doing that. Such studies are often delayed for years after a device gets the go-ahead, and many are never completed. The act would also let the FDA rely on data that was submitted previously for a different purpose, which makes absolutely no logical sense at all. Yes, I'm going to approve this based upon the fact that even though you're submitting it to cure chickens of bird flu, you tested it on pigs for swine flu and it seemed to work. Yeah, let's go. Except it's going to be on people, not animals. The act would also let the FDA rely on data that was submitted previously for a different purpose to expedite the development of certain drugs. Furthermore, it would require the FDA to use a third party, believe that, to review the safety and efficacy of the medical devices when manufacturers make small changes, as they often do. I wonder who's going to be looking at who runs that third party or who they're affiliated with. Currently, the agency does the review. This will allowing third parties chosen by the manufacturer, I knew it, from an approved list to handle this process, open the door to new conflicts of interest. In an interview, Redberg told me, quote, this will result in a lot of dangerous drugs and devices on the market with no evidence. And allowing case standards, allowing case studies as a standard is crazy. It lowers the data standard to non-existent, she says. So much for our wonderful elected officials in office trying to keep you safe, man. They all just stood up and dropped their pants to Big Pharma. How much do you want to bet that they all have investments? I will guarantee you, anybody who wants to make money on the blood of our future children, go invest in biotechnology right now. Because I will guarantee you that any of these new little startups will make you bazillionaires at some point in the future. I can't do it. How about you? I have a conscience. But I will guarantee you the more than 50% of Congress that are all millionaires now, I will guarantee you that there's biopharma in probably most of their portfolios. And they also probably had insider information to get those tips. To understand the 21st Century Care Act, it is important to step back to September 1997. When Congress passed the FDA Modernization Act, which had been promoted by drug and device manufacturers eager for more profits, disease activist groups clamoring for new cures, and politicians willing to help them out. Wow, sounds like a freeze frame copy. We're having deja vu. Except for a failed filibuster by the late Senator Edward Kennedy, who warned of dangerous consequences for the public. Well, go Ed. The bill sailed through and the press announced its passage with predictable, positive headlines like this one in the New York Times. By a large margin, Senate votes to streamline FDA. But what streamlining meant, however, was reducing the number of clinical investigations required to establish safety and efficacy for two or more or one or more, allowing drug and device makers to advertise off-label uses for their drugs. Oh, yeah, that's the black box use, which, you know, same thing that they had said before, that they can then use it for something that it was not tested for or originally intended. Allowing device manufacturers to select and pay private for-profit firms to review their products instead of the FDA. And those changes vitiate consumer protections established in the 1980s after certain medical devices implanted in patients caused injury and death. Redberg's own work shows that the device makers are already conducting fewer trials as the 1997 law allows. In a study she and her colleagues published in 2009 in the publication JAMA, looked at the FDA pre-market approval for cardiovascular devices and found that 65% of approvals were based on just one single study, which lacked strength and was prone to bias. Surprise. And the lower the standards have also resulted in death and injury. As the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reported, reporter John Fober has thoroughly documented in his excellent work on diabetes and cancer drugs. The FDA Modernization Act Part 2, which is what this 21st Century Care Act is, did not pop out of the blue. The Manhattan Institute, a free think tank, has been promoting its Project FDA for the last several years in an effort to, quote, modernize the FDA's policies and procedures. Such think tanks often provide the intellectual ammunition for corporations in their battles with Congress. The Institute believes that the agency can become a bridge for innovation rather than a barrier, and its work has helped educate the members of Congress. This is, you know, and how slanted is this? The lack of good coverage in part reflects our collective love affair with new drugs and treatments and the infinite belief that anything new, no matter its safety profile, is worth its potential to the cure. And I mean, this whole addiction to digital devices and the whole dopamine thing and our wish to live forever and this narcissistic society that we have created with instant gratification. This has all led to exactly this moment that we're at now, where people are willing to step up and become part of the machine if it means that you could live forever and have internet integrated in your brain and be like the X-Men. I mean, they've been grooming us to accept this willingly. This is the end of biology 1.0, people. Don't make a mistake about it. But we are allowing this to happen to ourselves. You know, for all the years, last 4 or 5 years, that I've really been digging into this stuff and my eyes are really open to the grand picture as to what is going on. You've heard a lot of talk about, you know, the chip and don't take the chip and the mark of the beast and oh my God. And at first, you know, you thought they were all crazies talking about this stuff. And then you kind of started to see that, yeah, maybe there really is like this line between light and dark that's happening, because there are some crazy shit. I mean, we're talking like 3-4 years ago. There's already some crazy shit that made you go, man, that is some evil shit going on. Where people with their empathy for fellow humans, or where, you know, I mean, it just really has been such a journey the last 4 years to even be alive and see this transpire. But now I'm at a point where understanding the entire picture and the bits and bolts as to how insidious this plan is and how we are literally being invaded and usurped, I really think that this is it. This is, don't accept it. They're going to convince you and tell you it's good. And they always talked about false prophets, man. This is it. This whole science of godship and lies that are spun as truth and goodness is so beyond insidious, and friends turning against neighbors and the reality of what is actually happening being on its ear, upside down, lunatic, crazy. Like, the people who actually see what's happening are being called by the majority lunatics. And we sound like lunatics. If we try to explain what they're really doing, we sound like lunatics, but we're not. I mean, I am one of those very, when it comes to knowledge and backing up what I say, I'm very anally retentive about that. And I read and cross-reference to understand how all the puzzle pieces go together before I can regurgitate what I've learned and connect the dots. And I've pinched myself a whole ton of times over the last few years to go, are you really, I mean, is this for real? But guys, this literally, what is happening right now in this round two of dropping their pants and letting Big Pharma go hog wild on our population is the next step to the ultimate end of everything that we have ever known for the history of humanity. And I can't emphasize that fact enough, how important this is. I know everybody's got their red button issue that they point to, but this is literally changing biology at a genetic level forever. A lack and with our food, with vaccines, with the air, with all the stuff they're doing, it's just beyond belief. But this is the next stage into you, into your brain, into your cells. The lack of good coverage in part reflects our collective love affair with new drugs and treatments and the infinite belief that anything new, no matter its safety profile, is worth its potential to cure. It's also our reportial blind spot that keeps us from the task of more thorough, honest reporting. So far, that's the case with the FDA Modernization Act II in 1933. Arthur Callett, a founder of Consumers Union, and F.J. Schlink wrote a book called 100 Million Guinea Pigs, which details the dangers of patent medicines as well as food and cosmetics, all of which fell under the FDA's jurisdiction. 100 million guinea pigs. That is what this new 21st Century CARES Act should be called. They argued that corporations often knowingly sell products that may not do what they purport to do or have dangerous side effects, and that the FDA had been captured by businesses it regulated. Guys, that was in 1933. And now they've taken over. Will further FDA modernization move us back to the time of 100,000 guinea pigs? We may soon find out. There was an excellent story out of Health News Review, healthnewsreview.org from August. No, I don't want to reboot my machine right now. Thank you very much. All right. So if not, to add insult to injury. So part of some of the 21st century cures is direct DNA editing. And we have looked at technologies such as the CRISPR-Cas9, where they can go in and they can edit genomes and replace sections of DNA. They can create bacteria. I've been discovering typically E. coli is what they use to invade a cell and put a payload of some sort of RNA eye interference. They're using these little DNA nanobots to do that, where then once it invades a cell, the payload is opened up and released and starts flipping switches inside the cell. It replicates, so it starts spreading throughout the body and it gets into all the cells and starts flipping them. And they've discovered in mosquitoes, and I saw also they were doing some pretty crazy shit with cockroaches, but in mosquitoes in particular, we looked in depth at the CRISPR-Cas9 technology and some of the stuff that they were doing, where they were turning off the ability to procreate, and they could actually send that through in one generation an entire population of mosquitoes and wipe them out completely. And there have been some scientists now that I've seen in a few interviews that even though they didn't stand up specifically and go, wow, this shit is some bad stuff and we should stop right now and have a little ethics and morals talk, they did raise a concern that this is some pretty dangerous technology that we are working with that now has become so cheap and so easy to do with the technology that we have. Well, there's even a better CRISPR technology that has been released now. There was a story that came out. This was in July. And this is really going to talk about the technology and how fast it is. New technology lets scientists rewrite living organisms' genetic code. And it's as easy as a Control-C, Control-V, copy-paste. With a few easy tweaks, scientists can cut and paste DNA inside living cells thanks to a promising new technique that could make possible everything from testing new drugs to curing genetic diseases. And researchers just discovered a way to make the process a whole lot cheaper and easier, according to a study published Thursday in the journal Developmental Cell. For less than $100, the new process allows scientists to make some of the key materials needed to modify an organism's entire genome or its complete set of DNA, the researcher said. And genome being its complete set of DNA. The advance is based on a technique that allows scientists to narrow in on a specific gene and cut and paste bits of DNA to change its function, known as CRISPR-Cas9. Jennifer Doudna, and we'd read about her in that other story, at UC Berkeley and her colleagues first discovered this natural process that bacteria use to protect themselves against invading viruses. But the technique is much more powerful than that. It basically gives scientists the ability to rewrite specific chunks of an organism's genetic code, including that of humans. Now, when we looked the other day, probably 2, 3, 4 days ago, at the new DNA-based sterilization vaccine that they had experimented with on mice, and now they're going to start working with feral populations of cats and dogs, and soon to be, and they even said humans, to turn their own muscle tissue with some of these DNA vaccines into a factory for a sterilization hormone. And I don't remember what the hormone was. There were a couple different ones, but it's like G, capital G, small N maybe, and then two other letters after that. That was what they were using initially, and then they may have even gone on to something else. But they were using, the point of the matter is they were using the organism's own muscle tissue. They were modifying it throughout the body to produce a hormone that it doesn't typically produce. And that hormone went and flipped other biological processes within the body and turned things off. Well, it's the same technology. And they're using this across the board now with some very insane experiments. Anyway, back to the story. So this technology gives scientists the ability to rewrite specific chunks of an organism's genetic code, including that of humans. Here's how it works. When a bacterium encounters DNA from a virus, it makes a strand of RNA, a molecular cousin to DNA that matches the sequence of the viral DNA, known as a guide RNA. The guide RNA then latches onto a protein, the Cas9 part of the CRISPR-Cas9 name, and together, the RNA and the protein search for the matching virus. And when they find a match, the protein, which then acts like a pair of scissors, cuts up the viral DNA and destroys it. This same process can be used to cut and paste DNA into virtually any type of living cell. Let's read that again. This same process can be used to cut and paste DNA into virtually any type of living cell. And let me tell you, not only can it be used to cut and paste into virtually any type of living cell, but they can cut and paste across different species and insert DNA from one species into another. And if you don't believe me, they've already been doing this in genetically modified foods. I wanted to play, and I believe it or not, I even got it up here quickly. Give me 1 second and see if I can, it's trying to catch up. They actually talk about, and I remember reading about this, come on, sucker. It's spinning, and of course, this isn't gonna play. Oh, do, 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 do. Now that I lost my train of thought, you better play. All right, well, let's just do a full reload. And am I still on? All right, here, zoom, 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 let's zoom, 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 let's zoom to the part of the video. All right, let me see if I can connect, because they can cross species, cut and paste. I saw something the other day about this tomato, hold on, where they were crossing a fish, and I think they also crossed a cockroach I saw too. They crossed a fish, some sort of Arctic flounder, with a freaking tomato. So the tomatoes don't freeze in the winter, but they use this very, very technology that we're reading about right now. Hold on.
Scientists were able to change their genetic modification. They figured out a way to take DNA from one organism and put it inside a completely different organism to create a desired and specific outcome. For example, let's go back to the tomato scenario. Scientists recognized that Arctic flounder, yes, that's the fish, could withstand extremely cold temperatures. They thought, what if we took the DNA trait that allows the flounder to withstand the cold and put it inside the tomato DNA so that the tomato could withstand the same temperatures? Now you've just narrowed your chances of your tomatoes becoming frozen. This idea that you could now get 100% crop yield was the original guiding principle for genetic modification. Our friends at Lilly Films have a documentary called The Future of Food by Deborah Coons Garcia that explains it best.
And I found that entire documentary. I'll put that in the notes at the very end of the show. It's like an hour and 25 minutes. I saw the 10-minute trailer, but I got it queued up here to watch this weekend. I'm telling you, just this little next snippet that comes through, I was like, holy crap, I need to see this. But wait till you check this out. It's called The Future of Food.
Genetic engineering is really a radical revolution in food production. It's really a cell invasion technology. You know, people have heard they're taking a flounder gene and putting it in tomato so the tomato can last in cold temperatures. But people ask, how does that flounder gene get in that tomato? How does it get in there? And what really happens is the only way you can do it is to invade the cell of the tomato and deposit the flounder gene.
And I'm telling you what, that when some of the stuff that I read last night and then correlated with some of the stuff that we're looking at right now, it's the exact same technology. And even in a lot of the cases, they're using E. coli in both cases.
What's good at invading cells? Bacteria and viruses.
After 12 years of searching, Monsanto found a soil bacteria that is naturally immune to Roundup herbicide. Their goal was to genetically engineer DNA from these bacteria into various plants. They cut out a sequence of DNA that is resistant to Roundup.
And they showed it with these little enzymes coming down and cutting out chunks of DNA.
But if this DNA sequence alone is inserted into a corn plant, it will have no effect. So the next step involves E. coli bacteria. Gaps are created in the E. coli DNA, and when the two test tubes are mixed together, some of the E. coli DNA recombines with the Roundup-resistant bacteria. Then the technicians smuggle the engineered DNA into the cells of the corn plant they want to modify. cells will naturally reject foreign DNA. So they developed a method using soil bacteria that causes tumors in plants.
Yes, they are using bacteria that causes tumors in plants. And haven't we, when we were reading about vaccines, we were looking at some of the different organisms and things that they were putting in them. We found out they had that SB40 virus that supposedly caused cancer. And there's all kinds of other things. I mean, that whole tumor thing I want to dig into, because tumors invade cells.
They use this bacteria to ferry the engineered DNA into the plant's nucleus. There are also two other methods used to get the engineered DNA through the cell wall. One uses a stream of electricity to create tiny holes in the plant cells so they become vulnerable to infiltration by foreign DNA.
Infiltration by foreign DNA. I mean, this is how they're genetically modifying plants and now humans, this CRISPR-Cas9. Let's go back now to that CRISPR-Cas9 story. So it says, here's how it works. When a bacterium encounters DNA from a virus, it makes a strand of RNA, a molecular cousin of DNA, that matches the sequence of the viral DNA, known as guide RNA. The guide RNA then latches onto a protein, and together they search for the matching virus. When they find that match, the protein, which acts like a pair of scissors, cuts up the viral DNA and destroys it. And that same process can be used to cut and paste DNA into virtually any type of living cell. For example, instead of using the protein scissors to cut a virus, they can be used to cut out DNA in a human cell and replace it with the DNA of the scientist choosing. In this way, it would be possible to swap out a defective gene for a gene with healthy traits. Humans have roughly 20,000 to 25,000 genes which encode proteins that perform vital jobs in our cells, and our genetic blueprint has a lot of other DNA whose purpose is less obvious. The successor to the human genome, the Encyclopedia of DNA Elements, known as ENCODE, identified what 80% of our complete set of DNA does, but the 20% remains a mystery. In this new study, researchers developed a method that makes it easier to create the guide molecules that home in on the DNA someone wants to tweak. And it was hilariously named the CRISPR Eating, which stands for Everything Available Turned Into New Guides. To demonstrate this technique, the researchers converted nearly 90% of the DNA of the common stomach bacterium E. coli into 40,000 different molecular guides. And each of these molecules can then be used to target any bit of DNA a researcher might want to modify. Oh my God, 90% of the DNA of common stomach E. coli bacteria, they converted into 40,000 of these different molecule guides. For example, if scientists want to figure out what a particular gene does, all he has to do is cut it out and see what happens. Thousands of these guides can be injected into different cells at once, a process known as genetic screening, and these screens can reveal which forms of a gene are present and whether or not any of them could lead to disease. This technology will allow us to paint a whole chromosome and look at it live and really follow it as it goes through developmental transitions. I mean, oh my God, this is so mad science. For example, in an embryo, says Rebecca Held, a molecular and cell biologist at UC Berkeley. This is important because it means researchers can track changes in the size and structure of chromosomes as cells divide and potentially detect changes that could lead to disease. Earlier this year, Chinese scientists caused controversy when they announced that they'd used a gene editing technique to tweak the genomes of human embryos. Those embryos were chosen because they said they weren't able to survive. Yeah, well, do we believe China? But some scientists have warned about the ethics and the safety of using this nascent technology in people. Our concern is the fact that it is still fairly inaccurate and it could result in lots of accidental mutations in other parts of the genome. Exactly, people. But with the 21st Century Care Act dropping our pants and people lining up for this quote-unquote game-changer technology, listen to this poor gentleman. They are promising him a cure for, I think he had muscular dystrophy. Check this out.
Buddy Cassidy has been suffering from Duchenne muscular dystrophy since birth. The 26-year-old literature buff and Shakespeare fan needs a scooter to get around because the disease, which is genetic, attacks the muscles.
I have bad days and I have good days. And, you know, sometimes I'm a little angry.
Scientists are now exploring new ways to treat inherited diseases like Cassidy's. In labs across the country, they're working with a new tool that can precisely edit genes inside living cells. It's a genome editing tool called CRISPR-Cas9, and it's being described as a game changer.
I like to call it a molecular scalpel for cells. It allows scientists to make a very precise change in the DNA of a cell or organism that could do something like correct a mutation that would otherwise cause disease.
Jennifer Doudna, a molecular biologist at UC Berkeley, was one of the scientists who developed it.
It's a technology that just allows a level of precision that we haven't had in the past.
Now it's being used in laboratories across the country in plant and animal research. Scientists have their eye on using it for everything from coming up with cures for blood disorders like sickle cell disease to combating antibiotic-resistant superbugs. At this laboratory outside Washington, scientists are using it on zebrafish to knock out genes that cause deafness.
The technology is moving very fast. It's almost every scientist is interested in the concept of genome engineering has shifted to using these techniques because they work so well.
Harvard.
All right, guys. Well, we're going to have to continue this on Monday. This is some really scary stuff. Make sure you stick around because it's Friday. So we have Ms. Lonnie Clark up next. Josh live at 6 p.m. Eastern. Primer Time Rebrewed at 8 p.m. 9, Truth on the Tracks with Brandon Turville. 10, there was a really good interview I found in Reality Bites about some of this technology and becoming gods. And at 11 tonight, Ms. Levon and I are going to make sure that we test. Wow. So my server is a minute off. My bumper didn't go. Levon and I are going to make sure that we test her, simulcast between, video and audio before she goes live tonight. So, all right, guys. Well, I guess I'm not going to have any music and it's kind of hard for me to talk and do this. So let me go out with this last guy speaking. Here we go.
Built around how we should handle the challenges posed by CRISPR and other potentially extremely powerful technologies relating to biology.
The Academy plans to issue a report next year. You know, while there's no guarantee about what the gene...